A beautiful morning the Lord has given to us. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me for a springboard, a verse just to springboard off of in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, a verse we're going to use just to springboard off. I want you to listen to the words. It says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We say that's in the Word of God, that applies to someone in the Word of God. No, it applies to you also, and it applies to me. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That is so true. And we all know it, but so often we push it aside and we say, that's for the other guy, that's for the fellow down the street, that is for the young person who was killed the other day, or that is for the older person or the middle-aged person, but that's not for me. Yes, it is. And this morning we'll look at three different men whose lives ended abruptly, fairly abruptly. You know what? So could yours. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Do you know, I bet you if I asked everyone here this morning what they're going to do tomorrow, what they're going to do this week, what they're going to do next week, I bet you every one of us could tell me what you're going to do. We have plans, don't we? Already in place. And God says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Why do I say that question? Because you know what? There's another verse in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, and it says this, prepare to meet thy God. Does God mean what he says? He means everything he says. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared this morning to meet your God? If you were to be ushered out of this world today, would you be ready to meet your God? I'm going to read about three men whose lives ended abruptly. Time ended and eternity began. How long is eternity? Ask yourself that. Do you know 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 years, even thousands upon thousands, after that, you know what? Eternity had just begun. How long is your time in this earth? Years. Only a few. Prepare to meet thy God. These men, they left time and he entered eternity. Two of them left time and entered eternity, and they're in the blackness of hell today. I want you to notice in these three stories also, we see the word night or darkness. Night or darkness. Turn, please, first to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. These are all well-known stories. I've spoke on them before, and many of the other men here. Luke, chapter 12. We're not going to dwell specifically on the story itself and getting into a whole lot of detail, but we're going to mention some things. And the key verse in this reading, Luke's Gospel chapter 12, we're going to read from verses 16 to 21. This is a rich man. A rich man. That doesn't mean that God has anything against rich people. Absolutely not. Because there was many rich people in the Old Testament. Abraham, King David, King Solomon, these were wealthy, wealthy men. But you know what? They had their priorities straight. They knew who God was and they gave him first place. Do you do that? Here is a story about a man who didn't give God first place. Verse 16, and the Lord is speaking. Some gentleman asked him about if his brother would divide him in his inheritance. And the Lord was speaking about covetousness. And in verse 16, he says this, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, there is the words, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? And verse 21 is the verse that applies to every single one of us. Listen to this. And God is saying, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. That is our key verse. He's not just saying about this one particular man. He says the same goes for everyone else who lays up treasure for themselves and is not rich towards God. That's why God took this man out of time and put him into eternity in his lost condition. We read this story and we think this was a one-time thing. God just took this man out of the way because he didn't like him. No, God probably blessed this man over and over and over and over again, year after year. He never thanked God, and God said, listen, I'm going to bless him bountifully this year. I'm going to give him more than he can even handle. I'm going to give him bumper crops and see how he responds. And God gave this man bumper crops. And what did he do? You read in those three verses, he says, I and my 11 times, and not once did he ever mention God. Is he doing a checkup on every one of us? Yes, he is. If he did that to this man, he's looking at you. Are you thankful? How is your life going? Has he blessed you in any way? Has he blessed you bountifully? Have you ever stopped to say, thank you, Lord? I know it was you who blessed me. Do you know who God is? Do you know who his son, Jesus Christ, is? That is one thing alone itself is tremendous, that God gave his best for you and for me. His son, who never, ever, ever sinned. And yet he died for you. You ever go through a day and say, thank you, Lord, for your son? We should say that every day, many times. Because look what it says here. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That gift is yours, and you in this building who are saved this morning, you have that gift of what? Eternal life. That is a life for all eternity. To be with God and his son. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for you. And one day you bowed your knee and by faith you accepted what Jesus Christ did for you. You took your place as a sinner and you said, Lord, I'm the sinner like the Bible says. I accept that and I have accepted. I want that gift. A gift is something you receive. You don't pay for. And God gives that to everyone who accepts his son as their Savior. This man wasn't even thankful for even the plain things of life. And it says a rich man. And what did he do? It says here in verse 21, it says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. It said in the first verse, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. In other words, he had a bumper crop, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will tear down my barns and build greater. Who was he laying up his store for? Himself. He didn't even think of his friends or his poor friends down the road. It was just all about me, myself, and I. And God says, so was everyone who does the same thing. And guess what? God is looking down. We saw that in Psalm 14. He looks down every day. And he sees what you and I are doing. And where are we laying up our store for? And that would go for Christians too. But especially for the unsaved. My friends, there's people out there today. And they're all in this mindset today. Probably there is no God. Just relax and enjoy life. And you know what? We're getting more and more and more. We're sliding into that place. You know what? People are going through life, and they're going through one day, they're going through a week, they're going through 2 weeks, and they never, ever, ever said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. For life itself. Thank you for the beauty you have given all around us. Thank you for fresh air. Thank you for a land where we can worship thee. Wonder how many come out to morning meeting and thank the Lord for the greatest gift of all, given his son. But we forget so fast. And we get into a mindset that is all about me. And we start comparing ourselves with our friend down the street. And our friend down the street is doing the same thing. And we say, well, we're no worse than him. And we just continue on going down. And God says the same goes for every person who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And God blessed this man. Well, first of all, I want to say about these three men. First of all, I said that they were affected. Every one of them were affected by the Lord himself. The first man, this rich man, was affected by his provision. God provided for him something that was absolutely beyond belief. The second man we're going to look at is Judas, and he was affected by the Lord's presence. For 3.5 years, we're going to read in a moment, he spent in the presence of the Lord, the one who created the earth, the one who died on Calvary's cross. He valued that person as he watched him for 3.5 years. He valued him, and he put a price tag on him, and he sold him for what? 30 pieces of silver. And if you go to Exodus chapter 21, that is the same value that was put on a dead slave that was gored by an ox back in the Old Testament. And this man called Judas valued that man who could walk on the water, who could touch a leper and heal him, who could heal the blind, make the deaf man to hear. It says in Acts chapter 1 that he took part in the ministry of the Lord's work. He went out with the other disciples and he took part in the ministry, but he also took part in God and the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion. Lovely person, wasn't he? And how many people sitting here this morning may do the same thing? And it says this, he went out, that is the night that he sold the Lord Jesus, and it was night. There again is the word night. You know what? These first two men, they never saw morning. They never saw morning. They went out into the blackness of darkness or hell forever. And there's people leaving this planet every moment or going to the same place. Why? Because first of all, they never gave thanks to the one who provides for them. They never give thanks or attention or to the one whose presence they're in. And my friend, you are in his presence every moment of the day. He has creation. He created this world. And we all enjoy that. You have a conscience in your life. You know when you have done wrong. Every single one of us know we're sinners. And he cares for us. Getting back to that first story for a few moments, that rich man, first of all, he was a prosperous man. There's many prosperous people in the world today. That's in verse 16, if you want to read that story. He was a prosperous man. It says he was a rich man. Secondly, in verse 17, he was an ungodly man. It said three different verses, it says, I am 11 times. He was ungodly. Many ungodly people in the world today. In verse 18, he was an earthly-minded man. He only cared about the things of the earth, about the things of the world. He says the ground and the buildings and so on. He never looked up. He never got his mind above the earth. He was an earthly-minded man. In verse 19, he was a presumptuous man. He had plans not just for tomorrow, but for the future. I'm going to take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to retire. My man put my feet up and then everybody, I'm just going to enjoy life. Look what I have done. And God says what? Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Did that man, when he went to bed that night, did he plan on being taken out of time and entering eternity? I don't imagine he did. Just like you tonight when you lay down your head or you walk out this door. That's why we started off with that verse, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's why we said, prepare to meet your God, because my friend, you don't know when time is over. And when time is over, it is done for all eternity. And you begin eternity. You'll begin in eternity in one place or the other, in God's heaven, a place prepared for prepared people, or you're going to go to a place prepared for the devil and his angels. That is in hell. That's in Matthew chapter 27. God does not want you to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. He has provided for you, made provision for you to be saved. And my friends, it only takes a young person, a very young age, to understand the gospel and accept it, to accept the gospel. This man was a foolish man. The Lord called him a fool, and he was a lost man. You know what the Bible says? The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. This man was taken from time, he entered eternity, and he was lost. And where is he today? I don't have to prove that to you. Know where he's at. We go to the second one, Judas the betrayer. We don't see a whole lot of verses about him, only here and there in scattered places. But he was one who spent 3 to 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence. He was affected by his presence, by the Lord Jesus Christ's presence. Turn, if you will, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, reading in at verse 14, the Lord being in Simon the leper's house, his head being anointed by a sinful lady, his head being anointed and so on, and of course Judas didn't like that. And then in verse 14, we see Judas now leaving this scene, and we see this, it says, then one of the 12, yes, Judas was one of the disciples, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and he said unto them, what will you give me? There is he making a deal with the Lord Jesus Christ, putting a price on him, valuing him. And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted or made a deal with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Wasn't that a lovely person? This man, Judas, he held the only office in that little group of 12. He was a secretary, if you will, treasurer of that group. They all esteemed him. They all trusted him. But you know, we can say three things about Judas. First of all, he deceived the saints. He deceived those disciples he was with. How about you? Secondly, he despised the Savior. How do we know it? Well, here it just says he made a deal to sell him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a dead slave. And thirdly, he destroyed his own soul. Don't blame God if you end up in hell. He deceived the saints. He despised the Savior. And he destroyed his own soul. Is there any Judases left in this world? Is there any here this morning? We go to a couple more readings. There's a bunch of them. I want to go to John chapter 13 because we see the word John chapter 13, a few verses here. John chapter 13, reading in at verse 18. This is when the Lord Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. Remember, he was washing their feet and so on. In verse 18, it says this. I speak not of you all, that is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before I come to that, when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We all know that was the disciple John. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop or a piece of bread dipped in liquid. When I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what manner intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, there it is, he held the money bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And then, having received the sop, he went out immediately, and it was night. There's another, the night, the darkness. Turn over again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, just for a couple more readings. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and verse 45. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, This is the Lord Jesus, after being in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, it is at hand. He is at hand who doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And immediately he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Look at this, the Lord giving him another chance, if you will. He called him friend. The Lord, knowing full well that he was going to betray him, he's called him friend. Which wonder the Lord is said that he is long-suffering, full of patience, mercy, and grace. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and they laid hands on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. And look in chapter 27, just over the next page. This is after they had taken the Lord Jesus Christ now, and they're going to crucify him. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Did he repent to the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Repented himself. He had remorse, or he was saddened that he was caught, if you will. Repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the Lord Jesus? No. Who to? To the chief priests, the religious leaders, and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. If Judas had taken that money to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him for forgiveness, would he have forgiven him? Yes, he would have. But what did he do? He took the 30 pieces of silver back to the same place where he betrayed him, to the same people who didn't give a hoot, because they wanted the Lord Jesus. They couldn't forgive him. He couldn't repent of his sins to these religious leaders. But we have people today who are in churches today who are going to little pews and asking for forgiveness from a man or a woman or a computer or something else. And thinking, walking away and thinking they are forgiven. There's only one person who can forgive. That is the one who died in our place, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. If you aren't forgiven by him, you are not forgiven. Judas went back to these religious leaders and he threw down 30 pieces of silver. And if he says, and it says he went out and he hung himself. His life ended abruptly. He was affected by the Lord. How? By his presence. 3.5 years he was with the Lord himself. If you go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, when the Lord began his ministry, it says the people, when he started speaking, they were amazed at his doctrine. They couldn't believe it. Then they saw his miracles and they were astounded. This man, Judas, saw all of that. For 3.5 years, he never left the Lord Jesus, and yet he valued him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because he loved the things of the world better than he loved the Lord. And the world is full of people, maybe people here today, who love the world and everything in it more than they love the Lord. And you know what? It will show in their lives, because at the end, when time ends, eternity begins, they will go to hell. And who can they blame? And the Lord, how many times did he say, "Friend, betrayest thou me?" He deceived the saints. All those people around him thought this was a lovely, wonderful man. How many times you hear about people saying, "That was a lovely person. Man, he lived a great life. He was an example. He was outstanding. He was morally right." But you know what? Only God knows if he was saved. He deceived those saints. They didn't have any idea that this man would betray the Lord. He despised the Lord. You think about this, selling that person who did all these miracles. He even took part in the ministry, it says in Acts. Read it when you go home. Had part of the ministry going and seeing these great things, people being healed and so on. And yet he also had part in his crucifixion. See a hypocrite there? Whoa. Pretty scary. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14, a couple of verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what man's duty is. Fear God, that is to give him reverential respect, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. My friends, that is black and white. Do you have reverence for who the Lord is? His son is? Do you give him that respect because he's watching you? He wants a response. You keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. See, God is assessing you, just like he's assessing me. With every secret thing, my friends, we can do lots of things in secret, can't we? Whether it be good or whether it be evil. The whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Another couple of verses there, and we don't have time to go into them. Ecclesiastes, when you go home, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I know, it says, that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it or anything taken from it. Man, we can't fool with God. That man, or anything else taken from it, and God doeth it. He does it. That men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. See, time doesn't mean a thing to God. 1,000 years is the same as one day. One day is the same as 1,000 years. Time doesn't mean a whole lot to God, because he's been here for all eternity. But you know what? Time is tremendously important for you and I, because it's what we do here in time that is going to matter for eternity. And the main thing that we must do is accept God's gift, his son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. If we leave time and enter eternity lost, we will be in eternity lost forever. Prepare to meet thy God. We go quickly to the last one, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and we all know the story of the thief on the cross. Each one of these men, their lives ended rather abruptly. The first man, the rich man, "This night thy soul is required of thee." He was affected by the Lord through his provision. God provided immensely for him. Judas was affected by the Lord, his presence. This man we're going to look at, he was hanging so close to the Lord Jesus Christ on another cross with another thief. He was affected by the Lord's person. He was right there. He heard what was going on. He saw what was going on. He came to understand. His eyes were open. His ears were open. His heart was open. He received the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. He would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He heard those words. He saw the accusation above the cross. He saw that this man was called in mockery the King of the Jews. He says to the other thief, we are here hanging on this cross justly. We're here for our due rewards, but this man has done nothing amiss. How did he know all this? Because if you go to the other gospels, it says, first of all, both of those thieves at first were mocking the Lord. Both of them were shouting at him, if you are the Christ, save yourself, come down and save us too. But all of a sudden, this guy was paying attention. And that's what God wants you to do too. To stop for a moment, be still and know that I am God, and say, Lord, I'm listening. I'm looking. And this man called out to the Lord. He yelled out to the Lord. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. How did he know that? Because he was listening. He was watching. And it clicked in that this man was the Savior of the world. And he was dying not for his sins, but for mine and for the sins of the whole world. Let's read quickly in Luke's Gospel just a couple of verses because time has already ran out. Luke's Gospel chapter 23. If you went down through this story, reading at a verse when you go home, reading in at verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors, that is the two thieves, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments. And we go down to verse 39. And one of the malefactors, that is one of the thieves which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God? There is that word again. What is the duty of a man? Is to fear God and to keep his commandments, to have reverence and respect for who he is. He says, do you not have reverence and respect for who this man is? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, you're hanging on a cross, man. Time is coming to an end. Eternity is going to begin. He said, what are you doing? He rebuked him. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. In other words, we're thieves, we're robbers, we're getting due reward for what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Remember I said that there was darkness mentioned? Will you turn to the next verse and read it quickly, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. See, the Lord Jesus Christ went through darkness. He went through three dark hours. When God, a thrice holy God, judged him for your sins and for my sins. See, he went through darkness so you wouldn't ever, never have to go through darkness. We looked at a verse in Colossians this morning that we have been, those of us who are saved, who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have been what? We have been delivered out of darkness and placed into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he died and there was three dark hours. He was judged for our sins. We will never have to go through darkness. But guess what? Those first two men did. It says they went out and it was night. And it never, ever speaks anything about morning. My friends, they are in a darkness, eternal darkness forever. Lord Jesus Christ did that for you and me. This man on the cross, he was paying attention. This man on the cross, he finally believed. By his ears and what he saw, he said, Lord, I know that thou art the Savior. I know that you are dying for me. Please, when you come into your kingdom, he knew that he would be raised again. He knew that he would have a kingdom. He was a king. He would have subjects. He wanted to be a subject. And when you're a subject to a king, my friend, you are someone who follows commandments and obeys the king of all kings and Lord of lords. If you're not saved this morning, you can be saved by acknowledging first that you are a sinner like this man. He had to, didn't he? Time had run out. But thank God, he was saved by the skin of his teeth. The last moment before darkness set in, he came to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. He took his place as a sinner, acknowledged Jesus Christ as a Savior. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Three things about this man quickly. In the morning, in that very morning, he was outside of Christ. He was not saved. At noonday, when those three dark hours came, just before that in verse 43, he was now in Christ. In Christ. In the morning, he was outside of Christ, lost on his way to hell. At noon, he was in Christ. And you know what? That evening, he was with Christ. You want to be saved? Acknowledge yourself as a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior. And ask him to save you this morning. And guess what? He will save you now. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank thee for loving us. We, Father, we preach the same story many times. Father, we are people who so often we just toddle, as it were, or we wobble on the fence. We know, Father, that we are sinners. We know that we need to be saved. But Father, we look at the world, we look at all its pleasure, and we say, not now, or maybe tomorrow. We're all going to have some fun first. Father, we know that time is running out. We all know that we're going to die. We see people dying every day. And yet, Father, the devil is at work in our lives, the world around us. And we so easily forget. We forget about eternity, that time that goes on forever and forever. And it's what we do in our time that will count for eternity. What we do with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this time that we have. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts this morning, not because of who said or preached these words, but Father, because of what your Word says. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We pray the Spirit of God would speak to hearts. Convict us, Father, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Father, we pray that souls may come to know Christ even this morning. Part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder, could we